This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Let's do it.
I started thinking about and reflecting on what had happened with Garoppolo back in March.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Got the contract. If he doesn't pass the physical, he's never playing for that team and he's never getting paid.
Earlier on the show, lead Bay Area columnist for The Athletic, Marcus Thompson. Coming up, ESPN NBA analyst Brian Windhorst from Sony Pictures, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Actors Shameik Moore and Jake Johnson. Packers beat writer for The Athletic, Matt Schneidman. And now, it's Rich
Eisen.
Hour
number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air live on the Roku channel, which is free on all Roku devices, select Samsung Smart TVs, Amazon Fire TVs. We are free on the Roku app and the RokuChannel.com. Free on terrestrial radio coast to coast. Thanks to our friends at the Cumulus Podcast Network as well. You can listen to us free. Thanks to our Westwood One friends, Sirius XM Odyssey, and so much more. Great ways to keep in touch with all of us. Coming up on the show, Matt Schneidman, who wrote The Deep Dive and interviewed Aaron Rodgers about his departure from the Packers and what led to it. Hour number three for that. Same thing with our in-studio guests, Jake Johnson and Shameik Moore, who play Peter Parker and Miles Morales in the newest Spider-Man animated feature, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. It'll be a lot of fun in hour number three. Jake is a huge Chicago Bears fan, but kicking off this second hour, in which I've got the top five summer storylines to look forward to in the National Football League, getting ready for a big NBA Finals, and so much going on in the NBA, which means our great friend and one of my favorite guests that we have on the program, back from the worldwide leader in sports, Brian Windhorst. How you doing, Brian?
I apologize. My voice is a little bit affected from 6 weeks on the road, so hopefully you'll bear with me.
I will bear with you, sir. Best you can. Tell me what happened with Bob Myers and the Warriors.
Well, I don't want to try to get into Bob's head, so I'm not going to. I'm just going to say that he's 48 years old. I understand that there's burnout. We all get burnout in our jobs. He is not retiring. I don't know if he'll ever be a GM again, but he's not retiring. I think what you have here is you have a really difficult period for the Warriors. They're facing a payroll. If they re-sign Draymond Green, I'm not making any assumptions that they are or aren't, but if they re-sign him to any reasonable number, they're looking at nearly $500 million next year in payroll and luxury taxes. $500 million. It'd be the most expensive team in the history of professional sports. And that team finished sixth this year and got knocked out in the second round. And if I was Joe Lacob, and again, I do not want to say that I know what he's going to do, Rich, but if it were me, I'm not sure I want to spend $500 million on a sixth-place team. And so you have a situation where Draymond is prepared for an extension. You have Klay Thompson, who's 1 year off from an extension, and I'm sure is going to want to be taken care of. You have Steve Kerr, who is in the final year of his contract, and I'm sure is going to want to be taken care of. And this is why there's a life cycle on dynasties. You reach either age out, or you get too expensive, or there's issues about who gets what. And they're facing the frontier of that. And Bob Myers looked at that whole thing, and maybe that wasn't the why he said, I'm leaving. But all of those things are there, and he said, you know what? I'm not going to stay here. So you can make of your decision what you will, but all of those factors are certainly on the table in front of the Warriors.
Well, is it fair to say then that the reserve that Myers used to have in copious amounts, or the reserve that he used to have that would be required certainly for this moment that you just laid out, got, one would say, drained by last season significantly, and the Draymond punch of Jordan Poole is what really pulled the plug on the drain?
I don't want to assume that, Rich, but here's what I'll tell you. In 2019, before Game 5, I had written a story that day about organizational fatigue that happens when a team goes for a title 3, 4, 5 years in a row. I saw it happen in Miami with LeBron. I saw it happen in Cleveland with LeBron. And I had written a story about how it's not that you're physically tired. The organization from competing, where you trade your draft picks and you can't play young players and you're under pressure at every trade day deadline, and every season starts long and they send you overseas to start training camp because you're one of the high-profile teams. The whole thing has a wearing effect that you know occurs in the NBA. And Bob pulled me aside before the game and said, "My gosh, that's so true. We are totally being a feel the organizational fatigue." That was in 2019.
Mm.
So think of everything that's happened. That night was the night that Durant tore his Achilles. So think of everything that's happened just since 2019, and emotionally and everything, they were fatigued back then. So imagine where they are now, and they're facing again another mountain of challenges that comes at them. I mean, I get it, but I also think it's relevant when you think about what's going to happen next. That after all this, he is raising his hand and saying, "Okay, I'm tapping out."
Right, and Joe Lacob said he didn't get it. He's like, "I don't understand it, you know, but I whatever makes him happy." He referred to Bob as his fifth child. So let's talk about the next. What is next? What do you think Lacob's move is going to be, Brian?
Well, he's got to decide what he's going to pay Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, and Steve Kerr. And the thing about it is, I mean, Adrian Wojnarowski reported right at the end of the regular season that Klay Thompson was looking for a maximum contract extension. And Rich, I just don't think I just think it'd be very hard for the Warriors to do that. The amount of money that it would cost, I think it'd be very hard. I don't want this to be attributed to me that I'm saying they're not going to. I'm just telling you it would be very difficult to go to that level with what it would cost them with what they've already got committed. And look, maybe they've got a trade that they can do that would vastly reduce payroll. It's just, this is not Steve Ballmer. They are a very wealthy organization. They bring in a ton of money, but they do not have bottomless pockets. They had the ownership of the Warriors in the last 3 years sold off a piece of the team to a private equity group, and they sold off a piece of the arena, which that arena is a cash cow. They sold off a piece of it to another group to fund how expensive this team is and losing money. Not because they wanted to buy a bigger yacht. That's what Paul Allen did. These guys are selling equity in the team to pay for the annual bills. And I know that it's not fun to talk about money. You want to say, well, what about how Draymond Green is going to fit with Steph Curry and how do they match up with the Lakers or the Nuggets? I mean, that's all true. But these decisions that happen in June and July, these are money decisions, and the Warriors are smack up against just outrageous sums of money that are due. They're smack up against a whole bunch of rule changes that have been put in the new collective bargaining agreement directly to limit them. Basically, almost every move that they've made in the last 3 years has been legislated out in the new collective bargaining agreement. They're just facing all this pressure pounding down on top of them. It's not easy. I mean, they are... They have four rings, so you're not going to – don't lay awake tonight and worry about them. But, they're in a really difficult situation about keeping this together. And, the first stress point, we've got a break here with Bob Myers asking out.
And in terms of Myers asking out, when is he exactly free? And it's interesting you mentioned Ballmer's name. I mean, every Clipper fan down here in Los Angeles, knowing that there's a general manager vacancy here in Los Angeles, is thinking maybe Bob wants to come home, Southern California.
Well,
what do you think?
Well, that's not the same. Lawrence Frank is the president of basketball operations. The general manager job in the Clippers is the number two job.
Right.
But I'm not sure that Bob is leaving because he's immediately trying to go get another job. I would be surprised if he doesn't work again, but I don't think that's what this is.
Okay. And we've got Brian Windhorst here on the Rich Eisen Show. So what's the Knicks up to? What are they up to? Because that was the top of the ESPN.com news stack today, is that Scott Perry is not getting renewed for the Knicks. What are they going to do at the general manager position? What does this mean? Do you think?
Well, again, with all due respect to Scott Perry, he was not the lead. Something that's happened, this is in the weeds, Rich. There's been title, embellishment in the NBA the last 5 years.
Yes.
There's no more general managers. They're now all presidents, and the number two is called general manager. No offense to Scott or anybody, but Leon Rose is still firmly in control there, and he's got a very full staff. Scott Perry was a holdover from the previous regime. So, but I think if you look at the Knicks, last summer they were very, very patient. They could have gone and gotten Donovan Mitchell. and it was going to cost them a lot in terms of draft compensation and young players. And they were patient. They said, we don't think that we need to make this move right now. And they were rewarded. The move that they did make, specifically Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart and their young players developing and showing trust in Julius Randle, they got farther than the team that traded for Donovan Mitchell, the Cavs. They beat them. And so I think the challenge for the Knicks right now is, can they remain patient? And what I mean by that is they are loaded and ready. I think they could make two blockbuster trades with everything that they've got in terms of draft picks and in terms of young players on their roster and usable tradable contracts. I think they could acquire two big time players. The challenge for them, this is what, you know, I think that they've been discussing, is stay patient. Wait for the big one. Wait for the big time star that becomes available that can take them from fourth to first. They don't want somebody that can take them from fifth to third. And I think that's what the summer is going to be about for the Knicks.
Well, and then, you know, I'm the name Lillard obviously leaps to mind here. And I imagine the draft is going to be an inflection point for what the Blazers might want to do with Damian Lillard, if that's even something to do. What do you think about his availability this summer and the timeline on that, since you mentioned timeline?
Rich, I think what's going on in Portland is maybe the most fascinating thing in the league. At once the finals end, that's where a lot of the focus will be, because this is not sources said. This is not insiders are saying. At the end of the season, Damian Lillard came out and said, I don't want to play with more players who are going to take 2 or 3 years to develop. No offense to all those guys. I want to play with guys who can help me right now. The general manager, who in that case is the number one decision maker, Joe Cronin, came out and said, yep, we're going to honor Dame here. We're going to make moves to acquire players that can help us right now. And then they fell backwards into the number 3 overall pick at the lottery. And, Rich, I don't even, you know, you say the number 3 overall pick and people say, oh, Michael Jordan. Forget about Michael Jordan. I'm just going to talk about the last 10, 12 years. The number 3 picks are guys like Luka Doncic, Joel Embiid, James Harden, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. These are Hall of Fame players that are available at number 3. Now, I don't know about Brandon Miller and Scoot Henderson. I'm not a draft expert. I haven't broken down their high school film and interviewed their high school history for teachers. I don't know what they're going to be. But I know that the number 3 pick is not something you trade for a guy who can be your third best player. And so now the Blazers are in this spot. What do they do? Do they draft a 19-year-old who is indeed 2 or 3 years away from being a real contender or a real player to help them? Because even if you got Victor Wembanyama, he wasn't going to help the Blazers win the title this year. It just, you know, rookies don't come in and affect winning and losing. They just don't. I'm telling you, go look at all of them. None of them do. And so do the Blazers make that number 3 pick available? And if they do make that number 3 pick available, who's that player? You know, or do they say to Dame, look, this is too valuable to us. We gotta take this opportunity. This is a once in a generation opportunity to draft another, you know, franchise cornerstone. And if that's the case, what does Dame say? Does Dame back up what he said 2 months ago? That he didn't want to play with that, or what? And so I don't have the answers, Rich, but I can tell you that the whole league is watching that very closely. And there could be 3 or 4 picks in the top 10 that are available. So we could see, you know, it may not be the best year to make the number 3 pick available. If somebody can get the number 4 pick cheaper, which is Houston. Houston has kind of said the same thing. They want to compete right away. So it's a complicated situation that's going to really play out as soon as the finals are over.
Yeah, and so June 22nd, night of the NBA draft, is this what's at play when, you know, Charlotte's on the clock and who they choose second overall is a domino that falls into Portland and makes this decision while they're on the clock, while, you know, they maybe talk turkey to Lillard throughout the next couple weeks? I mean, what's the timeline, I guess, on this sort of thing?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the pick only has value before it's made, right? You know, in most cases.
Right.
And so, like I mentioned, I mentioned some other teams. I mentioned Houston. The number 5 pick, Detroit, has kind of indicated that they might be willing to make it. The number 10 pick, which is Dallas, under immense pressure to retain Kyrie Irving and to keep Luka Doncic believing that they're competitive, I think that pick could be available. Now, we go 5-6 years sometimes before when we see top 10 picks traded. You know, some years we see two or three of them, but it is not a normal thing that a top 10 pick could move. But I'm just telling you, there's four that I know of that could potentially be on the move. And that complicates matters, too. How do the Blazers drive a hard bargain for number three if numbers four and five potentially are available? So it's going to be a fascinating – and the other thing is it's kind of like a three-tiered – you know, the scouts kind of look at it as three tiers. Obviously, Wembanyama is by himself. Then there's a lot of people believe Brandon Miller and Scoot Henderson in 2-3 and in some order. And then there's a third tier of players between 4 and 10 that are sort of comparable, depends on who you like. And that could affect it too. That could affect what the value of the number three pick versus the number four pick is. I mean, it's a particularly interesting strategy draft, even if it's not maybe a star-studded draft after the top few picks. There's a lot of strategy that's going to come out in this next month.
I've got Brian Windhorst. A couple minutes left with the great Brian Windhorst from the Worldwide Leader in Sports. What's the timeline on LeBron and the Lakers and Kyrie and what he, you know? Is he really thinking of retiring? I know I've asked you a whole bunch right there, but if you want to soup to nuts it for me, go for it, please.
Well, Brian. I have no idea what's in Kyrie's head. I wish you luck finding somebody who does. I don't think he intends to retire. I think he intends to try to sign a gigantic contract with somebody. Mm-hmm. And I think that team very well could be Dallas. As much as we look elsewhere, I think, you know, Dallas has a lot of advantages. The thing about it is, I think, you know, the Nets, after having Kyrie for several years, were just unwilling to give him the kind of long-term offer he wanted. And that's the challenge. I don't think the annual money is the issue with Kyrie. I think Kyrie is absolutely worth a single-season maximum salary. But if you give Kyrie a 3 or 4 year deal, based on his track record, that's a tough position to ask. And the Lakers are going to show their hand, Rich, because they have to make some decisions by the end of June on a number of players on their roster. They have a number of players who have options in their contract. And, you know, none of them are LeBron James or Anthony Davis, you know, but they got to decide whether they're going to keep Jared Vanderbilt. They got to decide whether they're going to keep Malik Beasley. They got to decide whether they're going to keep Mo Bamba. Now, you may say, how could you talk about Mo Bamba when we're talking about Kyrie Irving? How could you say that? Who cares about that? Well, Rob Pelinka came out at the end of the at the end of the season and said, we want to keep our young core together. We like the guys that we acquired in these trades. And we're going to keep them together. Now that could be posturing. He's not on the witness stand saying that, but if they go out there and clear a bunch of cap room and they, you know, waive all these guys right before the start of free agency is what we're required to do, then I think we have something that you're looking at. If they don't do that, then I think it's a much harder road for Kyrie to have an option for the Lakers. And here's the other thing. Any discussion about Kyrie and the Lakers, his maximum salary is $47
million. Wow.
And I believe that he can get $47 million. Maybe not for 4 years, but I believe he can get that. But the Lakers, even if they cleared all the decks, cut everybody that they could only clear between 30 and 35, Rich. So any Kyrie-Laker dream would probably mean Kyrie willing to take a pay cut. Maybe he will. I don't want to assume, but that's important. It's not going to be apples to apples to what Dallas potentially can offer.
So before I let you go, you have an NBA Finals thought key to, I mean, how is it how many bodies the Heat can run at Jokic to try and knock him off his game? Is that what it is? What do you got for me, Brian?
I don't think he's stoppable offensively.
All right.
I think he will kill you offensively. I think the way to get to him is to try to beat him at the rim. He's not a good rim defender. It's probably the one part of his game where he's lacking. If you attack him in that situation, you can score some points. I will tell you this. The Heat have won the first game of a series, game one, 6 consecutive series. They did it in Milwaukee this year, they did it in New York, and they did it in Boston. So they are a devastating game one team. And Denver has been off for 9 days. So I think typically I'm a big believer in game one should never be overreacted to. But if Denver is able to find the rhythm that they had, because they were awesome in that series with the Lakers, they played fast, they've got a great crowd at home, their offense when it's humming is devastating, Jokic when he's going is just awesome. If they can rediscover that form and right out of the gates put the Heat on their heels, the Heat haven't been down in the series. They basically didn't trail. Mm-hmm. They haven't trailed. They haven't been behind in a series. They've been ahead for 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you would say, well, of course the Nuggets will win game one. They are sitting at home and the Heat are having to travel. Maybe. But I would just say the Heat are experts at coming out and surprising you because they always have different game plans and they have different things that they can do and they sneak up on you and they're crafty. But they're 10-2 in the last 6 years. The Jokic era, they're 10-2 against the Heat. Jokic has pretty much owned the Heat. It's a compelling. There's some compelling data points in there.
Brian, I appreciate it. I know you said you've been traveling like crazy for 6 weeks, and I appreciate your voice holding up. Do you have a good place in Paris that you know where I can get something to eat? Brian, do you know any good spots in Paris, in France? Brian?
Yeah, here's what you do. You come out of your hotel.
Yes.
And you turn left, you turn right, and you walk a block, and you'll find something. That's how it works.
That was it? I mean, seriously. So did you know you were just going to – you're flying to France for a two-minute interview? You knew that, right? That was it? That was your assignment,
Brian? It wasn't just a two-minute interview. Okay. I was there for days. I can't say what else we did while we were there because there's a draft coming up, but we have more content than just that. I've also published two gigantic written stories on Victor, but he did recommend to me a truffle bar. I had never been to a truffle bar before. Have you ever been to a truffle bar?
I have not, sir.
Rich?
So you went truffle barring with Victor Wembanyama? Is that what you're saying?
I didn't go with him.
Okay.
Although I have had lunch with him. I was there also in January. I've been twice this calendar year.
Oh.
But it's a brasserie in Paris where all the dishes have truffles in them, including the ice cream.
Ooh la la. Okay. All right, Brian. So you saying that
Victor is a huge truffle fan. I don't any outlets in San Antonio. I recommend if you want Victor Wembanyama's business to stock up on your truffles.
Okay. So the Riverwalk needs a truffle brasserie is what you're saying. That's what you're saying.
That would be a good idea.
Okay. Very good. That's excellent inside information. By the way, when you were saying that there's more than just your two-minute interview trip to France. You were there all week. I was doing your pointing gif. I was doing that off camera here. That's what it looked like. Because you're giving me stuff to think about, Brian. You give me stuff, as always. Thanks for the call.
Thank you, Rich. I appreciate it.
Take care,
enjoy
man. Be well. Enjoy your week too. That's Brian Windhorst getting ready to cover the NBA Finals for ESPN. Right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Great nuggets that we just got right there about the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah.
Look out for the Heat in game one. You even said that yourself, Chris. Yeah. Look at you. Also, Bob Myers not coming to the Clippers, pal.
That's what it seems like.
That's what it sounds like. Lawrence Frank is here.
Not retired, though.
Huh?
Not retired.
Bob Myers not retired.
But not going to the Clippers.
Don't go full retiring.
Oh, wow.
Is what he just basically said.
Never go full retire.
No, never go full retire.
Right.
So he didn't do that. He's not coming to Los Angeles unless Tim Ballmer sends Lawrence Frank
into
a specific spot. Toilet. That's right. That would be aggressive, by the way. That would be aggressive.
Hey, Larry, go to the toilet.
So we learned that. It sure sounds like to me he thinks the Warriors, this is it. Like, they're
to bring back Draymond that puts him at $500 million.
That's a lot of cream, yo.
A lot.
To be a sixth place team, as he points out, but it's time to pay Kerr. Like, Kerr should be his aide. And he was ready to do that for Bob Myers. I have a feeling they're going to figure that thing out.
Or
that
they
money
trade Steph to the Lakers.
Oh, stop it. You're out of your mind. I didn't even waste his time with that.
Hey, we also got a new fantasy football team name.
Which is?
Truffle Barring with Wembanyama.
Yeah, Big Vic Truffle Bar. That's it.
By the way, somebody has to do that as their hoops
big,
name next
Big
year.
Vic Truffle Bar?
Somebody do that
and,
next year.
And the avatar is like the biggest mushroom you can find.
Why don't we do that? Aries Consultant, let's go into business.
Big Vic Truffle Bar?
Grow truffles and ship them down to San Antonio. We could be like the dealer.
By the way, great information for those with establishments in San Antonio.
Yeah. Hey, there ain't no truffle bar down in San
Antonio.
Well,
there's a big, it's about to be.
They're about to be.
That's what I'm saying. Let's get on that.
Spot on the Riverwalk.
Do you know how expensive truffles are?
Yeah, they're mad expensive. And you don't just grow expensive. Them. You have to just kind of find them.
Import.
Yeah, you got to get lucky.
You need the Vandalay Industries of truffles.
Truffles are very expensive.
Import and export.
Truffles Plus.
And that's what we could call it.
Truffles Plus. Let's do this, guys. This is retirement right here.
Let's go.
Come on. I know some people in
France. I believe that's how you say more in French is plu.
Plu.
Truffle plu.
There's got to be a little real estate, little corner shop in the Riverwalk available right now.
Guys, we are sitting on a gold mine right now with this information.
In fact, by the way, my dad smiling down from heaven, I got that French word correct. It's spelled plus, but it's pronounced plu. Truffle plu.
R-E-S truffle plu.
One last thing, and then we'll take a break. Oh, you know what? Let's take a break. The Lillard stuff is fascinating.
Just come to Philly.
Because let's put two and two together here.
Just come to the Sixers.
We're going to put two and two together here before we turn to the top five summer storylines in the National Football League. I got a top five list. I got thoughts on Damian Lillard. But when we come back, RES Consulting lays the groundwork for Truffle Plu on the San Antonio Riverwalk.
Bonjour.
Men, do you get distracted during the day thinking about your underarms sweating, itching, or emitting an odor? Do those thoughts keep you from showing care when it counts? New and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant with 72-hour sweat and odor protection and 1-quarter moisturizing cream helps you forget about your underarms so you can be present for the moments that matter. Don't let underarm insecurities keep you at arm's distance from the ones you care about. Buy new and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant wherever personal care products are sold. I just learned Discover credit cards do something pretty awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. That's right. Everything you've earned, doubled. All the cash back from eating at your favorite soup dumpling restaurant, doubled. All the cash back from that trip where you sort of learned to snowboard, also doubled. And the best part, you don't have to do anything ridiculous to get it. Nope. Discover does it automatically. Seriously, though, see terms and check it out for yourself at discover.com/match. Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Brian Windhorst is one of my favorite guests.
Great.
He makes us smarter. He's the way he communicates, the way he talks, it just... He brass tacks it. He also, you know, he drops
little nuggets.
Nuggets, but he also drops breadcrumbs that you have to follow yourself. And there's no question he followed Wembanyama around France for a week when he's saying that the draft is coming.
Oh yeah.
There's no question.
He was like 2 minutes, Rich.
So that's coming. And then the draft is a huge night. Not obviously because we're seeing the Spurs draft somebody so generationally brilliant. But we like putting guests' information in front of you and then draw conclusions, placing maybe together. Chris Mannix, another favorite NBA guest of ours, was here in studio 2 weeks ago. I said to him out the door, give me the name of the whoa player. Every year, every summer in the NBA during the free agency period, during the transaction action period. There's one of those moments, you, Chris, you, TJ, Sean Mitchell, our digital coordinating producer, Sean, is frequently texting his Hoskins, our coordinating producer, doing it too. And it's one of those where I'll text you too, this information, this news, and be like, whoa. Or we're just looking down at Twitter. Whoa. You said it the other day when DeAndre Hopkins got released on the air. You're like, whoa. One of those whoa moments. Give me the name of the whoa player this year. And Mannix did not stutter. He said Damian Lillard. And Windhorst, when I asked him about the Knicks, he said they had the capital. Not money, but believe it or not, draft capital and also player capital to make not one but two blockbuster acquisitions. I don't know who the second one would be, but the first one, you hear age 32, Damian Lillard wearing number zero in New York City, he would own the spot. Own it. In the same way he'd own Philadelphia, he'd own a spot in Boston. Whoever wants to try and acquire him, because I imagine Portland would prefer to send him east as opposed to down the coast.
Yeah.
But I'd imagine getting the best haul for him would be in Portland's best interest unless they use the number three overall pick to give Lillard what he wants, which is players that can help him win now. He doesn't want to sit here and help kids marinate. In the same way, by the way, Rodgers felt about the Packers. His Mona Lisa Vito stomping foot clock is ticking, you know? And so he wants to try and win now. He's done with the bring me some of these kids and let's all grow together. That draft night, man, it's going to be like, do the Blazers think Brandon Miller or Scoot Henderson, who do they like more? Who do they think could help Lillard more? Or who is the apple of someone's eye elsewhere in the NBA market more? Is it Henderson? Is it Miller? And the way it plays out might mean whether Lillard stays because the number three overall pick is that valuable and nets him and the Blazers, the players that he can help, that they can give to Lillard to win now, or do they love this player so much that they'll take him, start from scratch, and actually say, we're going to do what the Nuggets did. We're going to get all these kids and let them grow together. That's what we're going to do. And we're going to keep the course. Obviously, it helps to strike it rich to get somebody during a fast food commercial like Jokic in the second round. That's what's at play, you know? And maybe teams are going to be calling the Blazers. If it's this guy, we'll send you this deal. Or do the Blazers go and evaluate these players and say, this is the guy, and we have enough of the young kids, and we like that, and we've got to grow, and I've got to look for the long term, and I'm not going to try and mortgage all of that to try and win with Lillard right now and hope that the mix of veteran players or ready-made players to win now are appropriate for Chauncey Billups to mold and mesh together with Lillard. That's their question right now in Portland. And how that might play out for Philly and New York and Boston, whoever else wants them. I'm just mentioning those three teams because of who's in this room. Obviously, the West, that list is voluminous too. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I think we've gleaned. But bottom line is Lillard's in play for the right deal, the right mix, the right draft choice that drops at three. And that may be what, that's the intrigue of this NBA draft. It sure ain't who's number one overall. That's done. But who drops to three, and does that affect the Blazers' decision-making on Lillard or somebody else's team that moves the needle so much that it makes the choice for the Blazers? So that's something that to think about, along with what Windhorst just said about Victor Wembanyama, which is that he loves truffles. And he suggested if there's anybody in San Antonio that wants Wembanyama to be in their establishment, serve truffles. And then we came up with an idea of creating our own truffle brasserie, bistro. You said truffles plus, because we're plusing everything up these days. And really I said funny. The word for more in really French funny. Is plu, spelled plus, truffle plu. The problem would be telling all the Texans down there, no, it's not truffle plus, it's truffle plu, and see if that makes a difference. Thankfully, we have a Rich Eisen Show favorite to help us out with that. Jimmy in San Antonio joining us here on Jimmy. The Rich Eisen Show. Jimmy, how are you, sir?
Bonjour, monsieur.
You're speaking French now, huh? You speak the language of love now, don't you, Jimmy?
We haven't got a chance to talk since the whole draft thing, and so I've been sitting on this one for a while. It's too bad Victor isn't Jewish. It would be Wembanyamaka.
Very good. Well done.
Yeah,
well done, Jimmy.
That's a golf clap. That's not a home run.
No.
Okay.
Hey, sometimes you got to hit singles, Jimmy. You just got to reach base sometimes. You're on base.
There's a pitch clock. What else can I do?
Nicely done. Right.
All right. So we're going to have fajitas con truffles. We're going to have escargot ceviche and beignet empanadas. It's going to be a big cultural exchange, Victor. And then, why doesn't Steve Kerr come back after Pop retires?
Oh!
Why don't we have Mr. Myers come down and enjoy no state income tax in this nice truffle bistro on the Riverwalk?
I think that's exactly what's going to happen, Jimmy.
And TJ gets his best new team. Viva las Espuelas.
So
No low Spurs. Come on, NBA. That's insulting.
So when does Pop? When does Pop give Kerr the spot? And then I guess Pop would he be the maitre d' at Truffles Plou? Our spot where we're serving everything? Is that where he would be, or he'd just be in the corner? He'd be like Norm at the bar.
This is the doggy dog world. Okay, so no, Pop's gonna. Isn't Kerr's contract up at the end of this next season?
Yeah, I think Pop's going to keep coaching, though. I don't know. Who knows? Who the heck knows with him?
He's old, but, you know, salud, old man. Gracias, viejo.
Thank you. Thanks for the call, Jimmy. Jimmy in San Antonio.
Wow, that's a good one. Didn't even think of that.
Oh, I thought about that.
Kerr comes home.
Back home, man.
So he leaves Curry for Wembanyama?
Yeah, I mean, you just upgrade. I mean, look, Steph's going to be on the Lakers, so he can't coach the Lakers because they have Darvin Ham. So I think that's the next best thing. Let's go to San Antonio for the new up-and-comer, the face of the league coming up in the next decade.
Greg Popovich, the Ewan Roy of coaching. Is he? He's got a very James Cromwell look to him.
That's not bad.
Not caring anything, you're just telling it like it is.
No,
going out the door.
Who would stop their uncle?
First, do no harm.
Brother's funeral.
Okay.
For a stock price.
Lots of speculation. Let's take a break right here on the Rich Eisen Show. When we come back, top five NFL summer storylines. I got five good ones. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Get an inside look at Hollywood with Michael Rosenbaum. Actress Kristen Ritter.
Your parents let you travel by yourself.
It was a different time.
They just put you on a train. As a 15-year-old girl, you went to New York.
I went on a bus, and I did get picked up at Port Authority. They thought I was a runaway.
What would they do?
They'd detain you and, like, get people on the phone, and then they finally let you go to your modeling job.
But how many times did it happen?
Once or twice.
It just seems like it wouldn't happen.
It happens, yeah.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. Wherever you listen. For decades, Rolling Stone has set the bar for entertainment publications. Today, Rolling Stone Music Now takes over in podcast form. Songwriter and producer Jamie Hartman reacts to the Ed Sheeran verdict.
You need to create something new, and of course you're going to use traditional paths to get there. Are you going to sue the Rolling Stones for making a samba out of Sympathy for the Devil? You're going to sue Elvis Presley for writing Bossa Nova? It's like saying you're not allowed to use a pencil to create a piece of art.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
I can't wait for a truffle business to start booming.
Do you know anything about truffles, Mike?
They're delicious.
I actually really didn't even know that you had to go find the truffle.
There's a whole breed of dogs that find them. Truffle dogs.
I had no clue that was how truffle was. I thought like a truffle was made.
Like where? Like by an elf named Keebler?
No.
Like with the cookies?
Yes. Like I was like, yeah, it could have been a Keebler elf.
Like in a tree? Like
seriously, a tree. I thought it was made. I had no idea.
Like Nabisco
that
truffles?
You find a truffle until like probably 2-3 years ago.
Truffle. No,
I was like, you gotta go like,
they grow.
A little truffle salt on popcorn? Yeah. Oh my God.
It's like truffle butter.
I'm not really a truffle guy.
Nah.
I'm not a mushroom guy.
Right, now you're going to make me look at a truffle.
Again. I don't want mushrooms on my pizza. As you know, I don't want anything on my pizza.
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't have to eat it. We just have to supply Crown Vic with the truffles. That's our business.
I know what a truffle is now.
Truffle oil, truffle oil, French fries.
Truffle butter.
Truffle
really good.
Yeah. Nicki Minaj told us
like
about
a rock.
That.
Do you really like truffle oil on your French fries? Really?
Yeah.
No. Yeah, hot sauce.
Truffle fries? You don't like truffle fries?
No. I go regular French fries. What type of fries do you like?
Sweet potato.
That's a good one. No, the method.
Oh.
Oh.
Crinkle cut?
Ooh. Oh.
I like a good crinkle.
How about the waffle?
Curly?
The waffle?
No.
Waffle fry?
Curly?
Chick-fil-A waffle fry. Steak is really good.
All right, that's a poll question.
Five Guys crinkle fries. Curly fries.
Curly fries are good, yeah. from Arby's. Jack in the Box.
McDonald's? Yeah. Straight up McDonald's.
I used to put McDonald's fries at the top of the fry mountain, but then like Rowley's fries after a while, I got to admit, Rowley's
fries.
I've
never
had one. Oh, they're
whenever
delicious.
I see the small, like the McDonald's type fry, I think of my mother opening
the
bag
best French
as a kid
fries? Is that what we're doing right now?
And dumping it on the pan.
No, it's not. It's not who has the best French fries.
The best type.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So skinny fries.
I'm not a steak fry guy either.
No, steak fry's too big.
Yeah, they're a little too big.
Because I like my fries well done. I want them crunchy. Oh, I want them well done. I will always order my fries well done. I do.
Okay,
it's tough to get to make a steak fry crunchy.
What are our options here? Straight.
Just skinny fries.
Skinny fries.
Straight skinny fries.
Curly fries.
Curly
are the winner.
Waffle
fries. And then the
crinkle.
Steak. I think you got to go steak.
Crinkle or sweet potato.
No. Now you're opening it up.
We're going crinkle fries.
You got to stay in the potato family.
Let me tell you something, man. French fries in the air fryer, Mikey, you know. You cannot beat them, Rich.
You can't.
All right, it's out. Pulls out.
Done. At Rich
Eisen Show. Air fryer fries are just disgusting.
Yeah, they're good. And they make them, and they come out crispy.
And I just want everyone to understand, I knew the French word for more. Mm-hmm. My dad was a French teacher. I love going to France. Susie is fluent in the language.
I love France.
The fact that we talked about Victor Wembanyama and truffle, and it wound up with us talking about French fries, does not speak ill of us. We are well-rounded Renaissance men, okay?
How about French toast?
French fries plus.
And to drink Peru.
French toast.
And just to show you that we're well-rounded, on May 31st, here's the top five NFL summer storylines. Please, I need some NFL films music, please.
We're back.
The chimes.
Top five storylines as we are hitting the summer, post-Memorial Day, entering June, the land of mandatory organized team activities and the like. Number five on this list is, where is this guy going to land? He's not over the hill. He can run the football. Where in the world is Ezekiel Elliott going to land?
Gosh, good one.
Yeah.
What in the world is this guy doing currently at the crib? Because I know how I've been pounding the table for Tony Pollard, but this guy can get the ball in the end zone when you are inside the 15 and 20 yard line. Oh, I'm just going to say this. Do you think the Buffalo Bills could use him? You want to sign him late? Sign him late. Have him come to training camp. Get in shape. Hand him the ball from the 10-yard line in with Dalton Kincaid as well. And you have, poof, fixed Josh Allen's do-too-much problems in the red zone.
Bring him back home.
Now, you want to bring him back home. I get it. And it's possible. But his whereabouts right now.
Yeah, he's very silent.
He's not a 32-year-old. Zeke's 27, is he not? You want to look that one up? I guess I should have looked that up before all this, but you've got the Google.
27.
He's 27.
He'll be 28 for the football season. His birthday's in July.
Yeah, but that ain't over the hill.
Oh, yeah,
number four on this list, Jalen, check mark, right? Cha-ching. Lamar, cha-ching. Who's next? Burrow or Herbert? Who's going to sign first? And what does that mean for the other? And when are they going to sign? These are important questions. I am hearing rumors, and I have seen reports. Burrow might be the first guy to be paid as a percentage of the salary cap. That the cap goes up, so does his salary.
What?
Just put him as a percentage and see how that flies. I don't know if that passes management council muster or what have you. But
good deal for Joe.
They are getting apparently very creative. As Peugeot Stadium opens up with a new contract with Joe Burrow. And then obviously Justin Herbert. What's going on there? That's just a fascinating conversation. Number three on the top five summer storylines in the National Football League in 2023 as we hit June. Three simple words. Jimmy's left foot. Jimmy's left foot, everybody.
Jimmy.
Starring Daniel Day-Lewis as Jimmy Garoppolo or Jimmy G or Jimmy Addendum G.
Yes.
Which is what Mike Florio says. The new language in Jimmy G's contract is called Addendum G, which is, hey, we ain't paying you if your foot isn't healed. And guess what? Brian Hoyer time? Is that what it is? What the heck is going to happen if Jimmy G hits training camp season and can't hit the ground running? What does that mean for the Las Vegas Raiders? That's their plan? At quarterback? Right now, that's what it is. That's number three. Boy, is that going to be a drama to play out, number three. Number two, it's simple. Where's DeAndre going to land? DeAndre Hopkins' landing spot. What does it mean? Is it Bills? Is it Chiefs? Is it somebody else? Could it be the Browns, where Deshaun Watson's like, I'd love to have him again. Can they run it back there? What does that team look like? I'm seeing Deshaun Watson all over Twitter making great passes on 7-on-7 drills. That's what May 31st is all about. It's all about how great a team can be.
Bombs.
That's number two, is when DeAndre, what's DeAndre going to land? The number one, storyline of the NFL summer. It's simple. It's the quarterback room in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
Who's emerging as the starting quarterback? Week one, San Francisco will be in Pittsburgh at Acrisure. Nothing's for sure in this quarterback room right now. Who's going to be starting in Acrisure against the Pittsburgh Steelers? What a great week one game that is. Is it going to be Brock Purdy with his surgically repaired throwing elbow back, winging it around? Is it Trey Lance who's going to beat Purdy out because Purdy can't throw in training camp? Is it Sam Darnold getting the opportunity to actually beat all odds and be the starting quarterback for the 49ers? Will Trey Lance be traded if Jimmy G's left foot doesn't perform well enough? What is going on with that quarterback room? That's the number one storyline of the National Football League.
Oh. All right, we'll get one more.
I do.
One more.
You know I'm going to make it about the Jets at some point in time. And they might be your Hard Knocks team, which is going to be a summer storyline.
Why hasn't that been announced yet?
I don't know. But in the meantime, between that announcement and seeing Aaron Rodgers at a mandatory organized team activity, hopefully with a good calf, the question is, what's Aaron Rodgers' concert tour going to look like from here on?
Well, let me check
Swiftie.
Let me check Taylor Swift's
Swiftie
here.
The Swiftie. Two times. He's already been, by the way, in case anybody's wondering, because we assume he will not start any preseason games. New York Jets, week three, when he plays New England, he will have as many MetLife appearances in a Jet uniform as he has as a Jet quarterback seeing Taylor Swift in MetLife Stadium.
This weekend in Chicago, Taylor Swift.
There you go. He owns the stadium. So put a T-shirt together. Aaron Rodgers concert tour. That is one of the top storylines for the NFL summer.
Conspiracy theories, paranormal, UFOs.
Science teacher Andrew Greenwood stated that a child ran into his classroom and was hysterically screaming and talking about the flying saucer outside.
Hundreds of children ran out of their classrooms to go outside and see this unidentified flying object that was just above the school.
Just imagine a bunch of kids running out of school. Most of them probably just ran home.
Theories of the Third Kind on YouTube or wherever you listen.